Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Y Theatre in Leicester. Will you please welcome a man who will never forgive you, Leicester. I will never forgive you. It's Richard Herring!
Hello!
Hello, King Steelers. I can't forget and I can't forgive. You stole my king. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Stealing Tudors podcast. I know, he wasn't a Tudor king, King Richard III, but, you know, you got form, you'll move on to the Tudors next. Though I was hanging around at the Wistow maze, the maze, yeah. And there was an old lady in the garden centre there, and she said she calls it Rahelistapa, so I don't know if that's gonna catch on. I do appreciate you all coming out today. I was online looking at what's on in Leicester today, and you could have gone to the Art Lab for Kids, make your own emoji today, so thank you. I think you might have been... Did anyone go? I think you might have been able to get both in, actually, if you'd wanted to. I'm not going to forgive you about the king thing. We'll come back to it. I've been looking online to see the big news in Leicester. It is that Sapcote Road in Sapcote is closed for 12 days while the council is resurfacing the footpath. Starting tomorrow, so get on to that. The king thing that I'm upset about, you know, because I was born in York, which is where Richard of York. There's a clue in the fucking name. You don't get buried where you die, do you? If you get murdered, you don't go, oh, please keep me in the city I was murdered in, please.
That's what I would have wanted. I want to go back home, where you're from. But you also dare to have... I'm from Cheddar as well, and you dare to have Red Leicester. So, you know, you're just trying to niggle me. And I used to live in Loughborough as well, which you've kept besieged and locked in the 1970s, not letting supplies in. 160 Leicester Road, if you want to go and check out where I lived. 61805, that was my phone number, if you want to give me a ring. Back in 1973. I should say that my guest tonight, I don't know if you'll come back next week for next week's guest, but my guest tonight is doing he's sold out for his show that he's doing at the Leicester Comedy Festival tonight. This is mainly for people in Leicester, but he is on tour and he will be here at the Y Theatre on the 6th of October, I believe. So do book your tickets to see him quickly. For some reason, he's started to sell quite well. Quite reasonable. No accounting, is there? So we should bring him on because we have only got literally an hour for this one. So my guest this week is, I can't believe I've never used this one before. He is only known for his appearance on Top Coppers, the amazing. We'll find out if there's another series. That's what it's. Will you please welcome the amazing John Kearns, ladies and gentlemen. It's John Kearns. Hopefully. Here he comes. There he is. Come in. It's John Kearns, Top Coppers, John Kearns. Yeah. Cool. I think I've never used that before because, you know, that what I do, I don't know if you know, I do a clever joke at the beginning of each episode. This is a behind the curtain. What I do is I choose an obscure thing and pretend it's the main thing. And I think until this appearance, Top Coppers was actually the main thing you'd done. So I couldn't use that, but now you're doing quite well, so I can...
Main thing.
It was the main thing, so, you know, now it's not the main thing anymore, is it, Top Coppers? I tried to watch it, because you told me it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's not on Netflix anymore.
Well, it was when I recommended it.
Yeah, it was, but I was talking to you then already. I didn't need to watch it.
When did you try and watch it?
I tried to watch it on Netflix this week, like 2 days ago.
Right.
And I tried to watch it on YouTube, and there's a thing, the clip saying, the best of Top Coppers, and it's one joke.
I think the...
What was the joke? It's about you're trying to get into a building, and then you stop and think, and you're imagining like
a hamster
coming down a line, and then you go back to the police station, get a hamster, and then you throw it through the door. And break the window. It's quite funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It was a good show.
And I did find the original. I didn't know you weren't the original Top Coppers, but I found the original Top Coppers. Do you know about this?
The pilot?
Yeah. There's like some mini episodes of it with different people in it. One of them who looks really like you but isn't you. Have you seen it?
Yeah, well, that's how I got the job.
Yes, you just looked.
I mean, that is weirdly how I did get the job.
Right.
I was gigging opposite the production company. And the producer went to, it was May Martin and Friends.
Yeah.
He was friends with May Martin. And then he goes, well, that looks like the guy in the pilot, so let's cast him.
Why didn't they cast the guy from the pilot?
Most acting is that, though, isn't it?
Why didn't they just get the guys from the pilot who actually had proper ginger hair?
He's a producer now.
Okay. Well, we're getting all the... What? You haven't asked... I haven't told you what I'm asking you. Is
there another series?
In the pipeline.
In the pipeline. Yeah. Oh, so you're not asking if there's another series, but...
Is there anything happening?
Eight years later.
Is there any...
The only way there'd be... If I was announcing another series, would be if I was making a clay animation of it. I've hired every actor... to do all the voices. I could have used them, just filmed them doing it, but no, I've spent 8 years making a second series animation of Top Coppers.
Yeah.
No, the channel closed. We cover this every time I've covered your podcast.
I can't remember everything I've talked to people about. That's not too much.
the channel closed.
Yeah.
It was one of the last things on BBC Three.
Okay.
Then they brought back BBC Three.
Yeah. And?
No, they didn't carry on with everything.
Okay.
No. I mean, you know, you've done shows that end.
I mean, I'm hoping there'll be more serious. I mean, I haven't given up hope of another series of Fist
What do you
of
want to come back?
All of it. I'm expecting just to call any minute. Do you want to come back, make Time Gentlemen, please?
Yeah.
Now that we've got another series of Time Gentlemen, please. What, after 20 years? Yeah, brilliant.
That made you money, didn't it?
It did make me
money. I remember whenever I listened to you talk about that, I think, God, that's what you need. You want money.
Yeah, but it was hard. It was hard work. I mean, it was good money for where, because I hadn't made any money until that point. So I did 10 years of work and broke even, basically.
But you bought a house in Shepherd's Bush.
Then I did Time Gentlemen, Please. Yeah. And then, I got a mortgage as a result of it. But yeah, I earned like more money than I could ever have dreamed existed.
How much did you make an episode?
About 10 grand an episode. Plus, then repeat fees. I mean, it was good. Every time through the noughties, which were a sort of slightly more barren period for me. Every time I thought, oh, I'm going to have to move house, a check would come from Time Gentlemen, Please being repeated somewhere. It got smaller each time, but it was each time going, oh, thank God that turned up. Occasionally, Talking Cock as well. Talking Cock was put on in France. A man did it in France and was very famous. And every now and again, a check would come through from that. Go, oh, thank God I can eat.
Money's interesting, isn't it, in comedy? Because no one talks about money.
I know, and there's, you know, I know how much I make for doing, you know, you've been in Taskmaster, you know how much you make for doing Taskmaster, which is a nice amount of money. And you kind of, I do a job like that two times a year if I'm lucky, you know, like an episode, and you do a whole series of Guessable. And then I look at the people who are just on them all the time and think, how much fucking money do you need?
It's insane how much people... It is insane how much people make.
Yeah, because if you're at a low, well, I'm only guessing what someone who's like in, I don't know, let's say, if I got news for you, I can only guess what they would get after 20, 30 years of being the same people in that show, and they get it all the time.
Well, like Ian Hislop, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you must get...
They're on like...
50 grand an
50
episode.
Grand episode, yeah.
We're guessing.
Neither of us know that, but we both went, sounds about right.
You don't get much for Have I Got News For You, but I bet they get a lot for Have I Got News For You.
Oh, yeah.
And they deserve every penny.
I like Paul Merton.
Me too.
But as a kid, watching him, you know when he said something funny and his whole shtick was going, Mum. I never liked that as a kid.
Right.
And it's only as I got a bit older that I realised what he was doing.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I'd be watching it going, how the fuck is he the only one in the room who doesn't know that that's funny? How has he got there?
Good luck, Tim. Good luck to... This is your fourth appearance on Rahulastapur, John. And do you know what's remarkable about it? I think you do know what's remarkable about it because you've remarked on it.
You've never actually had me on at Leicester Square.
No.
I've done one in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I did one in Winchester.
Yeah, you did.
That was that tour where you wanted to basically have people on from the area that they were from.
Yeah, well, tried to get people from who were around. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was born about 10 minutes from Leicester Square. But no, Winchester. Went to Winchester.
Yeah.
Then we did one in lockdown, so I've done one from my house.
Yeah.
And now I'm sat in Leicester. So I'm getting close to Leicester Square.
It's got Leicester in the name.
Yeah. What's the place where in China where the guy stood in front of a tank?
Tiananmen Square. Square.
We'll do one there.
So yeah.
We've got the square bit in. We should do one there.
let's see how that goes. It didn't work out too well for that bloke in front of the tank, from what I remember.
Did it?
No, I don't think he did.
Hang on.
I think he's, you know.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think he's got, think he's gone.
Yeah, obviously.
Don't think they, you know. So we don't. Well, let's not do that. Let's go and celebrate the Chinese government.
What, you and me?
Yeah.
Should we try and sell China?
So anyway, yeah, maybe one day. They don't really like... I've tried to go on Leicester Square Theatre and just the guy who runs it just pulls a face every time I mention your name, so...
All right.
Have you ever played there in your own right, the Leicester Square Theatre?
No.
No?
I've done a charity gig there.
Oh, OK.
And when I came on, I said, Rahel Estepa for a laugh.
Did you? You owe me money for that. It's my intellectual property. I've got lots of things to talk to you about.
Maybe we could dress up as Paul Merton and Ian Hislop.
Yeah.
And go to China. They'll like us there then.
Yeah, but
we're famous
be better.
Then.
Well, then also, if it goes wrong, we can pretend it wasn't us. Maybe first of all we could send out Charlie Borman and the bloke from the original pilot of Top Coppers. See how they get on. If they aren't killed by a tank.
They send a postcard saying, phenomenal time, come over here. So do they have to come home when we go over there, or are they going to be there when we're there?
They'll go over, do it, come back, let us know how they got on. Then if it's all right, we'll go over, say it's episode 2. If they don't come back, we'll go, let's not do that.
Who are you? Charlie Bingham?
Charlie Borman. Oh, Charlie Borman.
Who's Bingham? Does he do the lasagnas?
Who's what? I'm talking... Charlie Bingham.
Yeah, is he the posh
lasagnas? Let's send Charlie Bingham from there. What I like about... My favourite thing about Charlie...
They're expensive, but they're nine fucking quid.
My favourite thing about Charlie Bingham, I don't know anything about them except I've heard Richard Osman doing the adverts for them. Have you heard him on? They often have him... And he reads this advert... And then halfway through he goes, wait, what? As if it's the first time he's read.
Oh, I see.
You know, he goes, what? They do what?
Sorry, what am I reading?
As if he's been given a script and then they've just said, read that. And then he's gone, they're made of all fresh ingredients. What? But I don't think that was an ad lib. I think that's in the script. But... I think it makes Richard Osman look like a fucking idiot. Because he looks like the kind of guy who would do an advert and not read through just once, just to check.
He is a rich man.
I think he's doing okay.
Three episodes of Pointless a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he's not, you know, he's stopped. He's got so much money, he's actually stopped doing... He doesn't do... We might talk about this next week. He doesn't do Pointless... He does the celebrity Pointless still because he loves celebrities. But he's not doing regular Pointless anymore. They've got Nish Kumar and people doing it now instead of him. You know that. Did you get asked to do that job?
No.
No.
No. I haven't been asked since Taskmaster. Nothing.
No. I had one similar for me. There've been a couple of things. But you did well on. We'll talk about Taskmaster. You did well on Taskmaster. You did test Taskmaster correctly. I mean, I won.
The real winners don't win.
That's
Richard.
Not the correct way to play Taskmaster.
No, no.
The correct way to play Taskmaster is to be, you know, a kooky, funny, be amusing.
Kooky?
Just do it in an amusing way rather than trying to... Were you trying to win? Did you think you had a chance of winning?
No. Who tries to win?
Me. I wanted to win and I did and I'm the champion of champions.
Do you have... I know you talk about this a lot, but are you genuinely a very competitive person?
Yeah. Only at games and stuff. I don't care about real life. But if it's, you know, pointless.
Did that ever come into your comedy?
I think when I was younger, I was quite competitive in those terms. But, yeah, I'm not bothered about... What, doing jokes about being there or being...
No, just like, you know, wanting to... I don't know, win awards or...
Well, we didn't, you know, if it was, I didn't really get troubled by that. So I think eventually, I probably was quite competitive, but eventually I thought, they're not going to give me anything, I'll just pretend I don't care. In fact, I've never been nominated for anything in the Edinburgh Festival, despite having been 34 times. I think one of my plays got nominated for a best play thing award they did in 1999, but didn't win it. But I've never been up for the Comedy Prize in any of those 34 shows I've done up there, whatever it is. So now I have to use that as a badge of pride. Say it's actually quite impressive, isn't it, to do that many Edinburghs and never do a show that anyone goes, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
But
it's nice to win an award, though.
Yeah, you did all right with that, didn't you? The Edinburgh Awards.
Yeah, I won all the awards.
Yeah. You won, got nominated Best Newcomer, won.
Yeah.
Next year, Best Show, won.
Yeah.
Now what, though? Yeah. Where'd you go?
It took me
that?
8 years to get on Taskmaster.
But no, I think...
But it is interesting, when you win awards that early on...
Yeah.
It is like, it's only now, 10 years later, that I feel like I've earned, almost like I've earned them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you can be good once, but to be consistently good, that's kind of the mark of it, really. So I take more pride in that I'm still going.
Yeah, I think it's better to be consistently just good enough to carry on, but not good that you ever win awards. So just every year go, we've got to knock a couple of comedians that off now. They're going to not work anymore. Herring's still through. He's just bubbling at the top there, but it's fine. Could go could either way. It's the impressive thing, I think, is to keep going.
In stand up, in that? Yeah.
Yeah, well, in everything. I mean, life, staying alive, that's impressive. But I think, like, in career terms, it's.
I think in stand up, very much so.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what you've said. I've seen you say this about the people saying, oh, where do you want the live to lead? And the live is what you're doing it for. Right? That's
yeah, 100%, yeah. People always want to try and work out how to get what you do onto telly or something. But I just like the idea of playing bigger venues and just live is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no other thrill. You know, like, joking about that Top Coppers thing, that was the first audition I ever did. You know, and there was 8 weeks of filming. You do a sitcom and it's gone. That's why if I was an actor chasing that, you'd go mad.
Yeah.
Whereas stand-up, you book the room and you do it. So, yeah.
Have you found it post-Taskmaster? I found a quote from one of your other tours. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe I didn't write it down. But a paper in Norwich. Oh, this is it. Has Taskmaster... increase. Oh, yeah. So what does John Kearns have to do to pull a bigger crowd in Norwich? That was the headline of your review, where you had 30 people come to see you in Norwich.
Oh, this was from
this is 2019. Before Taskmaster.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was a very positive review, but
yes.
You had 30 people, and you joked in the show about having had less people the year before, the same number of people.
Yeah.
But now the tour you're doing at the moment, you've added extra dates and in bigger venues, because presumably you're selling out those venues that you weren't selling out pre-Taskmaster.
Yes.
So is Taskmaster's made that much difference that quickly?
It's certainly different. Because I wear like a wig and false teeth.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of 16-year-olds looking at their tickets going, didn't buy a ticket for this. He's not the cuddly guy off Taskmaster.
Yeah.
No, I'm very... my act is an act.
Yes.
I'm not someone that walks on and is like the same as I am backstage with what I do in stand-up. No. Which I think weirdly doesn't fit maybe the fashion of what people want now.
Right.
People want to know, you know, obviously through social media, they want you to be who you are off stage to who you are on stage.
Yeah.
They want to be able to see your life, be able to get a whole look at you. Whereas I quite like the perimeters of building an act, doing a turn, and then being like, yeah, that's what I do. That's the job.
So do you find, is it bad to have people coming to you who are expecting... the other things well, no, that happen, I do address it.
Yeah. Do I bring? Yeah. No. Yeah. I can't. I'm good at my job. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm having. It's really nice because you know there's new people who maybe haven't heard of me until maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Coming along, and you know I've been doing it for 10 years, so I can show them what I do. And you know, it does, the aim is always to be someone's favourite comedian, whether it be 5 people or 10,000 people. You don't want to be someone where it's like, yeah, they're fine. So you just kind of, I like the idea that maybe because a lot of young people love Taskmaster,
yeah.
And I really do love the idea that, you know, like I said, a 16 or 17-year-old is coming along. Maybe they haven't seen stand up before, or. And they're looking at me going, what the fuck is this? And maybe it's something a bit different. Because I haven't recorded any of my stuff. I'm not on YouTube or anything. Or I don't have a special out. So I quite like the idea of keeping it live and keeping it special for the audience in that room at that time.
Mm. Taskmaster didn't change my audience at all. If anything, I got slightly less people come to see me after Taskmaster. But a few of people who like me currently
off. You put people off.
Yeah. I've not noticed many 16 and 17-year-olds coming. Any 16 and 17-year-olds in? Give me a cheer. Oh, look, hello.
There's one there.
You know, yeah. I mean, he's a nerd, though, so it's fine. Okay. I always got those. We're cool. We're cool. They love it. But it's good. Try and bring some more of your mates, because like a lot of my regular fans are dying. COVID did not help, because it's not they're particularly old. It's just they're quite weak. So it took its toll.
COVID took a hit.
Yeah, it did take a hit. We were talking about this backstage, but I think people, you know, it's changed my socialising, and I'm sort of starting to go, oh, I should go out a bit more than I used to now. Like I've sort of, it was such a weird time, and I think we're still. But the thing that I've realised is I can no longer shake hands with people. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, you were explaining this to me earlier.
Yeah,
and I nodded away, but yeah.
But like I've never had a problem. Pre-COVID, I never had a problem shaking hands with people. Post-COVID, I probably shook hands with 5 people because people don't do it anymore. But
that's because you're sat in your attic talking to puppies.
Occasionally. It doesn't matter that. But when you meet people, they don't really shake hands anymore. But occasionally they do, and you go in, and I would say out of the 5 times, 3 or 4 of the times, the handshake has gone wrong. And it never went wrong before. I go in and then it sort. I did one. I saw John Richardson the other day, and I was saying goodbye to him. We went to see Meet the Richardsons, which I did a small part in, and we went to a party afterwards. And I said goodbye, John, and we went to shake hands, and it just, you know, just. It's like, God, you know, in the end, it was okay, but like I've done ones that just to basically you end up holding someone's hand like that. Yeah, I don't know if it's me or that, you know, is it 2 people making a mistake there, or have I forgotten how to shake? Because I had 2 years of not shaking hands at all. I just forgotten how to shake hands? I think I know how to do it.
When you when you play snooker against yourself,
yeah.
At the end of the game, do you shake your own hand?
I can't do it because they can't inhabit the same body at the same time, obviously.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So that's why me one can never wank me two off. Because it will always be me one's cock when it's me one, and then it's me two. And then, you know, you understand about character work. And that's, I think, a lot of the tension between the two characters is based on that. That they would love to wank each other off, but they never can.
That's like my onstage alter ego and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wank myself off on stage.
If you wanted to wank yourself off in that...
I'd have to stand right in the corner... So people can still see my wig,
yeah.
But my hands are mine on the other off stage.
Look, I'm not going to wank you off, but do you want to try and shake hands? Just try and shake. Just go for it, and just see if we can do it. It might work. See, it worked. It's fine.
I think we have similar shaped hands.
Yeah, maybe it is. I've never had any problem with it. And honestly, I would say the majority of the times I've had to shake hands, something has gone wrong post-COVID. And I'm not saying that's the worst result of the coronavirus in the world, but it's not good, is it? Because then, like, if you meet someone, I was at the literary festival, the famous one in Hay Festival, and like I was up with, and it's like really prestigious authors and intellectuals and stuff.
Yeah.
And I met someone in the friend of this important person. I can't remember who it was. And I was sitting down, and it was a bit awkward anyway, because I was sitting down, and they came over, and then I had to sort of half get up and shake hands, and then I gave this really weird handshake, and then had to apologise for how weird the handshake was.
Who was it?
I can't remember. It was the friend of someone like Jenny Murray or something like that. It was a famous broadcaster, and it was a friend of theirs. And that's sort of worse than it being the broadcaster.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it. I'm worried if I'll ever get that back. But I think the coronavirus has had a longer reach.
Well, I told you, the last cultural thing I saw before the lockdown was Michael Ball and Alfie Beau at the O2.
Yeah. Does that count as a cultural thing?
I think I did go kind of ironically.
Okay.
But they're incredible.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And they did a whole kind of routine about... They went to shake each other's hands and then they went, oh, no, no. And then they were doing all their elbows thing. But I do often think about that audience, because that was at the O2, 15,000 people. You know, you're talking about your audience being old. Alfie Beau and Michael Ball must have taken a big hit. Captain Tom was fine before Michael Ball got involved.
That's true.
He was just in his garden.
That would have been, for a lot of the people in that room, that would be the last thing they ever went to.
What, a Grease megamix sung by Alfie Beau. And...
Now, that's a nice thing to know, isn't it? It's a nice thing to know.
I think Alfie Beau is incredible.
Okay.
Do you like Alfie Beau?
No. Not particularly. I mean, I wouldn't listen to their music by choice. I like mine. I only know really.
But you don't like music.
I don't really like music. So I'm not the person to...
Music would you pick by choice? Exactly.
Paul McCartney's good. Ben Folds. Not Alfie Beau. It's no offence to Alfie Beau, but Alfie Beau probably wouldn't listen to this. Oh, God, I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. I hope he doesn't come on this podcast in the future and then listens to this episode to find out what it was like. I don't know what I'd ask Alfie Beau. Do you think he's ever tried to suck his own cock?
Yeah.
I might make that the question.
Michael Ball.
Do you think Alfie Beau's ever tried to suck his own cock?
Alfie Beau. Do an edition of that book, but everything is about whether Alfie Beau. Just pick one at random.
Do you think Alfie Beau's ever seen a ghost?
Yeah, this is good. He's in Les Mis. There's a ghost in that, though.
Don't know. Don't like music. If Alfie Beau had to marry a piece of furniture, which piece of furniture? It does work. I mean, I don't know whether
it's... It does work.
I don't know if it's got the legs to... It could just be... That could be an offshoot. You know, like Death in Paradise, which is one of my favourite programmes, has done an offshoot where they've obviously Chris Marshall didn't want to go to the Caribbean... For half the year, so they've set it in Devon or somewhere.
Yeah.
I could do a version of Rahalastapo, which is just me asking emergency questions, but about Alfie Beau to other people, but not Alfie Beau. Then eventually, last episode ever, do about 6,000 episodes of it.
Yeah.
Then Alfie Beau, ask him all the questions, and then see who got it right.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear another one. See if it works.
It's going. What's the best thing that Alfie Beau has ever done in the rain?
He was homeless for a bit.
Was he? That was an insensitive.
He's an interesting guy.
That was an insensitive question about, because he'd have been in the rain a lot, wouldn't he? So that would have.
Well, I know, but
it's a good that you were here, because if I just bowled, got Alfie Beau on, go, what's the best thing you've done in the rain? He goes, I was.
Yeah.
and I didn't know about
that. Yeah, but those bits are good in a podcast.
Yeah, they can be good. If Alfie Beau had to, would he rather give up chocolate or cheese? I'm going to try this for next week's podcast. Not tell Nish Kumar what I'm doing. What is Alfie Beau's most mundane encounter with a celebrity? Might be the time you came to see him at the It's already, you know, we hit a high. That was the trajectory of that joke as we lived out in real time. It started, it grew, it got better, and now we're on the downward
slope. You made a career out of dragging these things along. That's what you do.
Sometimes they just live in the moment for a second. That's the beauty of live performance. Sometimes you have one of those performances that you think that some people in this room will remember that for the rest of their lives. And bang, it's gone.
Do you have a gig that you always think that was maybe
there was
the
a gig where like I had like a party of kids or young people from like no, but they all had Down syndrome, and they'd all got a table together, and like it was like a gig night rather than my own night, and it was sort of a strange gig because they were shouting out a lot, but it was beautiful because you had to incorporate it. If you did anything other than incorporate it, you would be a monster. But they also had such a good time doing it that I'll always remember that because it was a joyful gig for everyone. And so that's the one I always think about with that one. It was really genuinely really nice.
Who books that gig?
I don't know, but you know,
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah,
you know Jose. You know Jose.
Yeah, I do know him. Where.
He coached a football team of Down syndrome children.
Okay.
And he said that's where he learned empathy. So when he's gone, obviously, around the globe, dealing with usually young men, he says he always goes back to that time as a football coach when he taught young children with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Because that's when he learned how to basically, you know, man management and empathy and dealing
with
people.
But did he not have empathy before that? I mean, I, you know...
Maybe
I,
not. Maybe
I
not.
Had some empathy on that night, but it wasn't the first time I'd experienced...
what is this feeling I have?
Wow,
oh,
I care
the
about...
the centre of the universe.
I care about what other people think. Weird. Jose Mourinho sounds like a prick. So...
He has a... every time he wins a trophy...
Yeah.
He stops his watch at the time that he wins the trophy, and then he never wears it again. He puts it in a kind of, you know, a case, and then he's got them on, in his house in a room, and they're all stopped at the time he won his trophies.
Stupid. It's a waste of watches, isn't it? I bet they're really expensive watches as well. How do you even stop a watch?
Sorry.
How do you even
I could answer most things you throw at me, but how do you stop a watch is pretty difficult.
Watch?
How do you stop a watch?
Yeah.
How do you stop a watch?
Because it's either wound up, you can't then just...
Back there, you went, we've only got an hour. How do you stop a watch?
You have to smash it.
Every single person here knows how to stop a watch.
They don't. How do
you
stop
are the
a
only
watch?
Person...
How do you stop it?
There is no one listening to this podcast who doesn't know how to stop a watch.
It's either got a battery in it, you can take the battery out,
what
or you wind
no,
it up.
What are you talking about?
You can't just stop a watch.
Right.
You have to break it when they. You have to stamp on it. So it
are you
work
talking anymore. About iWatches?
I'm talking about any watch. iWatch, you can't stop because it would. You know, you can't stop the time. The time keeps moving. If you've wound up a watch, you can't unwind it.
I'm aware you can't stop time. We're talking about stopping a watch.
You can stop a stopwatch. If he's got a stopwatch around his wrist...
Look how excited he is. Dog with a bone. You know how to stop a watch. What is that? What are you wearing there?
That's a... How do I stop
I don't
that?
Know how to stop that. I don't know how to stop that.
Oh, what if it's a wind-up watch? How do I stop a wind-up watch?
You pull out the plug. You pull out the plug.
Plug?
You pull out the... You pull out the thing on
your
the
side. Your
watch
plugged into a
not
wall.
The plug.
You,
not the plug. Not like that. The, what is it, a pin? You pull out the pin.
What pin? Oh. It's a hand grenade.
It's not a grenade. It's not a grenade.
There's no pin in a watch.
It's a pin. Winder. You stop, you pull the winder out.
How'd you pull the winder out? Ridiculous. Anyway, it's a waste of watches. And what's who cares? Go, this is all my watches at the times I won championships. So, why'd you do that? We could still use that watch. What, you've got a big cup? You've got a cup? Did they give you a cup for winning? Yeah. Why don't you just put the fucking cup in the display? Put the medal up like a normal person, Jose, and stop just putting watches.
I found it quite
poetic. £10,000 watches, I bet they are. Or £10,000.
Oh, yeah, they're expensive. Yeah. I found it quite poetic, though.
No.
No?
If he stamps on the watch, I'll give him something.
He throws his medals into the crowd. He don't care about them. But he stops the watch.
What's wrong with him?
He's a very successful...
He's got no empathy until he meets a disabled person.
Didn't say that.
This isn't about him. This is about Alfie Bow. Let's say it. Because it won't work. It won't... Look, it won't... This won't work.
I genuinely forgot about Alfie Bow, about that.
Who is Jose Mourinho's favourite historical character? Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work straight away. Who is Alfie Bow's favourite historical character? Worked. See, that worked.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are there some reason I've written Kate Winslet in Titanic? Was it something about your parents stopping you watching, or was that what it was about when you saw Titanic? Your parents... I've found out a lot of stuff about you for this, because the fourth time on, I've got to go deep. When you were a kid...
Yeah, my nan took me to see that film.
Yeah, and your nan took you.
When Kate Winslet got naked, she covered my eyes.
Have you watched it since?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, just checking to see. I remember, this is before nearly everyone's time, certainly before your time, young man. Kind of Loving was on TV with Joanne Whalley before she became Joanne Whalley Kilmer. Anyone remember this? Yeah, one person. This is the kind of comedy I like. And there's a bit in there where Clive something, his name was, he was a ginger as well. He took off her top, and I was sitting with my mum, and I covered my own eyes because I was so embarrassed to be watching it with my mum. I was 28 years old at the time. So that is what... 28 years old,
I remember. To this day, I don't know what film it was, but my parents were having like a dinner party or something, and my dad and a mate were in the living room watching telly, and there was a film I remember watching, and it was a silhouette of a man, and he shuts a French door on his cock.
Right.
I don't know what that film is. It's a big memory of mine. Okay. I remember being like,
he shuts his cock in the French doors.
I just remember, I can picture, I know, I'm just in the back room.
Yeah.
The telly's on, they're silhouetted, and he just slams the door on his cock.
Well, one of our listeners will know. I'll let you know. Then we can watch that together next time you're on.
Yeah.
Where do you think Richard of York should be buried? Don't remember, this goes out to a global audience. You don't have to play to the crowd in the room. And remember, they're thieves. They're thieves and vagabonds.
So they want him to go to York, right?
Yeah,
but Richard Leicester want him.
Well, Leicester have got him.
Oh, is he still
find his keepers, isn't it? That's what they're going by find his keepers.
I did a gig. What year was he found? 2014.
I mean, these guys will know.
It was 2012. I did a gig. It was in a hotel, and the idea was that the pay was you got to stay in the hotel, and then the audience met in the lobby, and then they went to a different room, and each room had like a act.
Okay.
And me and my friend Matt Hyten did a thing where we went to Nando's earlier that day, took the bones from our meal, tried to make a skeleton of a man. Yeah. And then we laid him out in a drawer in like this Premier Inn or whatever. And then, so, you know, we're doing... The idea was that we just found, like, a skeleton.
Yeah.
And the room stank, man. Because we'd washed the bones in the sink.
Yeah.
But all of that chicken fat and all that was just clogging in the sink.
A lot of serial killers have had the same problem.
I live 2 minutes from that guy.
From Dennis Nielsen?
Yeah.
He actually put Kentucky Fried Chicken down the toilet in an attempt. They found some bones in the sewer, and then he flushed some Kentucky Fried Chicken down the toilet so that he could argue it was Kentucky Fried Chicken. He says, I don't bother going to the bins. I just flushed my Kentucky Fried Chicken down the toilet. So, you know, you and Dennis Nielsen on the same page. You're the kind of comedy version of... I'm not approving of what he did, though. He was quite funny. When Dennis Nielsen was in his prison cell, he was being interviewed by the police, and then he was smoking, and he said, "What should I do with this cigarette?" And the policeman said, "Just throw it down the toilet." He said, "I got in trouble last time I did that." Pretty good. Pretty good for a serial killer, right? It's pretty...
Yeah, they're quick.
Yeah.
They're not thick, these people. they're pretty quick.
They're good. He was a funny guy. Someone had cut here written round his neck, one of the guys he killed. He said, "So I did." That's a bit darker.
Have you ever had David Tennant on this?
No.
He'd be good.
What? I mean, it's nice. It's not going that badly, John. I mean, it would be.
No, I'm just thinking. It'd be better. You know, I listen to your podcast. Yeah, I'm thinking if, you know, it came up on my thing, I'd go, "All right, here we go." Don't hear from him often.
Because he played Dennis Nielsen, right? Is that why you leapt to that?
I was just thinking just thinking about him. I thought he was really good at that.
Yeah, he was. I don't approve of serial killers. I think what they do is wrong. just before I get cancelled.
Stephen Merchant played a serial killer?
Yeah.
Have you had anyone else who's played a serial killer?
I think there's probably a comedian. A comedian is a good job to be a serial killer, right?
Because you're moving from place to place.
Mm. No one's going to suspect you because you're funny fun. Do you think, is there anyone on the circuit you think might... I had a name in the 1990s of someone I thought would probably... at least be assaulting people everywhere he went.
Christ,
I won't mention it. I won't mention it. Right.
There's a lot of stuff that I don't know if it could go out.
As long as we don't say names, it's all right. I want to talk about Taskmaster. Go and ask some proper questions, as much as I enjoy messing around with you, and that's the best bit. Did you consider when the sabotage task, not sabotaging the task? Or did it not cross your mind not to, to actually... It was a very good task, and you were, and you, I don't think you sabotaged it enough, but I understand you had to hide the sabotage.
You couldn't, yeah.
Yeah, well, they weren't allowed to know you were sabotaging
exactly.
It. But did you consider thinking, A, what I could not sabotage it, and then when they found out I was meant to sabotage it, my team will be stronger as a result? Even if I lose, if I
personally
lose
the
points.
Well, the thing is, with that show is,
yeah.
I'd met Dara O'Brien once before that day.
Yeah.
And that was the second task of the day. So I've met Dara O'Brien for an hour. And the next thing you know, you're told to sabotage a task. And, you know, you've got no time to think about it because they kind of ambush you with it.
Yeah.
So in the end, you just kind of... The hard bit of that was, at the end of it, Fern and Dara were like, why are you trying to be funny? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we're just kind of going, well, okay, he's taking his chance, all right. And then you don't see them for another 4 months. So I think Dara O'Brien was just going around the country, and if anyone asked him about Taskmaster, he'd go, yeah, yeah, I'm doing this, and John Kearns, and this guy's he's trying to be funny, and everyone knows that's not how you do it, And Fern obviously just tells it as it is. She was like, oh, you must be tired because you've got a kid. And I just have to sit there going, they obviously don't know what I know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of horrible, to be
honest.
But
then even when they found out, it's worse than that. I think then they find out that you betrayed them.
Well, I don't think it changed anything in Dara's head. I just think... I think he went, yeah, this guy's thick. But he wanted a win, man.
Yeah.
He wanted to win that show.
He really did.
He really wanted to be on that show.
Yeah.
Like, everyone going on What the Week, and he's thinking, why are you going on What the Week? I'm Taskmaster. I should be on Taskmaster. So he's, like, got the most points, I think, ever for anyone who's ever done it.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Milligan, I think, is number three. So I picked a bad year to do it, I think.
You did. I mean, he was good. He was good as well. I mean, he did everything... It's surprisingly well, really, actually. I think, you know, I mean, he's a very clever guy, but often the clever guys don't do so well on it.
Well, it's not built for any kind of intellect, really.
No.
It's more, what in this moment are you going to do? But it helps when Alex Horn is there, obviously. There was one task I did where he wasn't there, because he had... it was like a genuine family thing he had to do.
Right.
So I had to do the task... with him not in the room.
Oh, wow.
And that was very... You felt very vulnerable doing that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've just got a camera guy just not laughing, being like... You need Alex to be there to almost kind of qualify your stupidity, basically.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It's sort of, yeah.
Take him out of it and you're just... You are an idiot.
Yeah, it's just doing something stupid in a room. I agree, I know.
But it's only 10 days work. That's the crazy thing. It's it's a 10-day job.
Yeah.
You do 5 days in the house. You do 5 days in the studio. It's 10 days of your life. But it's a show that, you know, I'm extremely grateful for having done, because I've seen, like, with ticket sales, just with stuff like... He says he thinks a lot about who he picks to be on that show, because he's letting people into other people's living rooms for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, 99% of people hadn't heard of me when I was on that show. So, a mad thing, but also you only get to do it once. Well, actually, yeah. I mean, unless,
well,
you,
I think
unless
you
win.
Yeah, if you win, you get to go. Hopefully I get to go and do Champions. So three times. You only get to do it three times. And then four times if I do Champions. But that's, I think, like you and Mike Wozniak, it's great for, I think comedians would look at that and go, oh, that's fantastic, those guys who we all know are brilliant and we all love getting to do what they do. on a you know on a TV show which isn't kind of trying to push you into a different kind of.
Well, there isn't really places where. I guess Taskmaster is now the equivalent of maybe what Live at the Apollo was 10, 15 years ago. You do Cats Does Countdown, but that's a bit odd in that there's usually four people on that panel that could sell the Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah.
And then they go, right, let's just stop this game now where everyone's having a laugh and let's check out this weirdo in the corner. Who no one's heard of, just sweating, doing a bit to absolute silence. Then they go, right, cheers, let's go back to the game. And you're there going, what the fuck? You know, fuck, that's not my best. And then, your money goes up if you do it three times. You get the same money for doing it twice.
Okay.
But I've only done it twice. But those things don't exist really on telly.
No. Well, it's sort of weird. It's weird. It's so difficult to, you know, to do comedy on telly now. So there are, you know, Taskmaster, I think, is the best of those in terms of it'll give an audience an idea of the person. But it's still not anyone doing their show or anything. It's not doing their stand-up.
Well, it gives you 10 hours, yeah, people watching it, to get an idea of who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like a 20-minute snippet of anything. So I think that's where its strength is.
Yeah. It's the crew is incredible, and you know, and the team behind it are incredible, and it's, and everyone working on that show loves it so much, and still, even after all these years. So that's quite, and again, when you go and work on some other shows, you go, that's not quite what the case is here.
Well, Lou Sanders told me, like, you know, there are some people, their dream is to be given a task by Alex Horn in that house and told to do something. So always keep that in the back of your head. And it's true, like,
yeah,
this job is difficult at times, but there's also times where you get a phone call going, do you want to go on that show? And you spend a week with Alex in that house, with that crew. And there's only about 5-6 people in that house at the time. Mm-hmm. It's such a small, tight thing. And they don't let anything on. It's all very secret. You're stashed away in a little room. There's a knock at the door. You do your task, then you put back in the room. It's all very kind of covert and all that. But, yeah, Alex is he's a clever guy.
He's clever. He's done all right.
Well, I was reading an interview with Nick Hancock today, and he was saying you've got to get into making... Young comedians should get into making formats. Don't worry about material.
Yeah.
Because you can then sell it around the world.
Yeah. If you can find that magical thing. But I think it's, you know, it's sort of quite random what gets into that place. Taskmaster is an incredible example of it.
Have you ever thought of a game show?
No, I tried to. I don't think I've got the patience to really sit down and work it out. If something came to me fully formed, I keep on thinking there must be yeah, there must be something in my life. You know, I think it's one of those things where you go, often they're just a thing that you've been doing your whole life, or a game you've been playing with your mates or something like that. Someone goes, oh, why don't we do that as a quiz show? And it's finding the thing that's different, isn't it? Because like a lot of them come on and you go, I watch them all and I really like quiz shows and game shows and stuff. But a lot of them you go, oh, they've realised Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is successful, so now they're trying to do it, but upside down or back to front. Well, to be honest, though, Pointless is just Family Fortunes upside down, and that works. Yeah. It's a reverse Family Fortune, isn't it, Pointless?
I didn't realise that.
Well, it's because you've got to give the least popular answer instead of the most popular answer, so it's basically Family Fortunes. It's Family Fortunes for clever people.
We should pitch one with the midway pitch.
Yeah, so Family Fortunes. That's, you know, bang on average.
Bang on average. PH7.
Piggy in the middle.
Piggy in the middle?
Yeah, Piggy in the middle, if you hit the exact middle.
You and me dressed as Hislop and Merton. Piggy in the middle.
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of question? What question would be?
What do you think?
Yeah.
How tall do you think the average person is?
Yeah. How tall is the average person in the UK?
Yeah.
Probably about, I reckon, 5 foot seven. Are you including children?
I think you might have to include children if you're that average person, but also women.
Also, we don't agree on this stuff before we go on.
So we
have this conversation.
Is it just you and me? Is it just you and me each week? No one else is involved.
No, it's you and me sat at a table like this.
And no one does any research to find out the actual answer.
No, we don't know the answer.
No one knows the answer. And then we just... We have to decide between us who's closest.
Yeah. And then maybe a pig comes on, I don't know.
Yeah. I know Richard Osman.
I know Richard Osman.
Yeah, I know him.
I did a Zoom with him and he had an original Banksy behind him.
Wow.
Just like in his house. He's rich, man. He's so rich. It's like funny how rich he is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny.
He's just getting richer as well every single day. There's not a day goes by that man isn't... It's just like pouring money into his bank account.
Imagine opening your banking app and seeing that. How much can you put in the NSNI? You know, the premium bonds?
Yeah.
How much can you put in that? 50 grand? Yeah, he does that.
I think if he looks at his banking app, it's just spinning around. It's like a petrol station. There's so many things. If he only had one of them, it would still be doing that.
Books,
Pointless, House of Games,
That's
all the stuff
funny.
He created. He's good, isn't he? I wish he would just fail one time. Two Tribes didn't do that well, did it? We can have some... He didn't make much out of Two Tribes.
What
remember
was that?
Two Tribes?
No.
It was a game show in between Pointless and House of Games. Oh, we're going to have to stop. If Alfie Bow could go into a chrysalis and change into anything he wanted, what do you think Alfie Bow would emerge from the chrysalis as?
I don't know why I'm thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's me.
I don't know why. Yeah. It just came in my head.
Okay.
Because Alfie Bow looks after himself.
Yeah.
He's quite fit. But I reckon he's going, I could be bigger.
Yeah.
So he looks up
if
to
Arnie. I didn't
Arnie.
Have to do all this singing. If I could just bin the singing and concentrate on building muscles.
You know the film Arnie, what's the Arnie film?
Terminator.
No, the one where his body...
Oh, no, let me guess. Twins?
No. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Cop.
No, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hercules in New York?
No, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film.
Yeah.
Huh? Pumping Iron. Yeah. So it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not playing a character.
How did you get it? How wasn't it Hercules in New York?
No, because I said it's not... It's Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film, not a character played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's in Terminator.
No, I know he is. But he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator 2?
Yeah, no, he is in that. But he's not playing, he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is there a recent Terminator one where he's in it? Is it that one?
But he doesn't turn up as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
In Pumping Iron, right?
Yeah.
I had a personal trainer who went, if you watch that film, what they don't show is that for 3/4 of the day he rests. And that's the most important thing with bodybuilding. Mm. Like, all you see in that film is him pumping iron.
Don't think it's the most important thing. I think if you just did the resting, you would get nowhere near looking like one of us. I would say the most important bit. I saw there's a sort of clue in the name of the film. I'd say that was the bit where he's... pumping iron. That's the bit where he's resting.
Yeah.
don't think it really does
rest,
do anything.
Just him sleeping for 3 hours.
I mean, are they saying if Arnold Schwarzenegger did nothing but pump iron, he would die pretty quickly if he didn't eat? And if he just did that, if you pumped iron 24 hours a day, you didn't sleep, you'd probably die within 3 or 4 days, do you think? So he needs to rest.
What, you just pump iron for
if
4 days?
If you were
days?
Just pumping iron and it was non-stop 24 hours a day, didn't sleep, you could probably still eat, so that's, you know. But I think it would kill you, just...
Probably.
Yeah. So they're right, up to an extent, the resting bit is important. But it's in no sense the most important. I would like you to go, if you don't do anything else for me in your life, can you go back to that person and say, I've thought a bit about what you said to me. I've realised you
don't
are
talk,
you're
I don't talk to him.
Wrong.
I don't talk to him anymore.
Well, I'd like
he,
to
he
talk.
Tried to get... He tried to...
What did he try to do?
Well, he kept asking me for money.
Okay. Well, because he's a personal trainer.
Late at night.
Yeah, but you...
No, he'd go, John, could you put £100 in my bank account?
Oh, okay.
And I'd go, why? And he goes, well, no, it's a forward pay for our classes.
Right.
But this is like 11 at night.
Yeah.
It was for drugs.
Yeah. I've worked it out. So well, it's very important to rest when you're personal trainer, so you need to take some drugs to help you relax a bit. The most important thing about pumping iron is to give someone a load of money. That's the most important thing. That's how you... Unfortunately, we've run out of time. We're under very strict time schedule and we've actually done 3 minutes more than we should have done.
Sorry.
And I'm furious. Furiously angry with you. Thank you very much for coming back on.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like
me.
To come on and do it at the Leicester Square Theatre sometime?
If I...
I'm not asking. I'm not inviting you. I'm just asking if you would like. Just asking if that's your dream.
Yeah, I'd like to come and watch one. Yeah. Like to see the vibe, see how it goes.
It's really good. Much better. You know, no one in my audience at Leicester Square Theatre has stolen any king's bones. That's why I like about it. It's the whole audience. There's someone actually gnawing on one of his bones, and that's how little respect they have. You've been absolutely joyful to see
me.
You.
Thank
you very
it.
Much. Go and see John on tour. He's here in Leicester in October, but he's all over the country if you're listening at home. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing John Combs! You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, John Kearns. Thank you to Scant Regard for providing the music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one. Ben Walker wasn't involved in this production at all. I am not going to credit him. He's a fool. Thank you very much to the Y Theatre for having us and the Leicester Comedy Festival. Fantastic work and all the crew who were very welcoming. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.